And good morning. Missions Month continues today, and in particular today, I'm hoping you'll notice before we're all done, we're trying to emphasize and spotlight the global nature of the church's mission. Already in our mission spotlight, we heard from Luis Estrada in Honduras and Association Building Hope, what they do down there to build houses, feed children, spread the gospel. When my lesson is over, we're going to have another short video from my friend Brandon Price, and I'll introduce him in a minute. He's in Kyiv, Ukraine, and doing some great work there for the gospel. And then when we're done, at the very end, we have our closing prayer. We're going to spotlight one of our own who is making plans to make a trip to Africa later in the year. So South America, Europe, Africa. Why are we trying to take the gospel into such distant and remote places? What's the significance of that? Why would we bother? We hit on it last week, but I want to emphasize it again this week. There's a lot of different ways to say it, but one reason Christians take the gospel quite literally into all the world is because God's glory should be filling the earth. Because there should not be a corner of creation anywhere where God is not glorified. We emphasize that this week. I want to emphasize it again. I'm going to try to keep it brief today, but I want to look at three passages that reinforce that message, that God's glory ought to be in all the earth, and how we accomplish that by speaking His gospel. The funny thing, and this is a little bit of a negative point, but just go with me a minute. The funny thing about that is, in all the history of the cosmos, you and I are the only thing that God ever made that had to be told to speak His glory. Everything else God makes gets it. Everything else in the creation daily, by the minute, unfolds the glory of God. There's one thing in the whole universe that gets distracted. There's one thing in the whole universe capable of selfishness, and that's us. Psalm 19 will be our first passage, and listen to how it highlights this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. We think of preaching and worshiping and so forth as the kind of thing that people do. The psalmist says the greatest preachers in the world are above us. As an astronomy guy, of course, I love this chapter and this passage because it calls your attention upward. And it's really hard to look at a beautiful night sky and not be impressed, right? What you see out there is hauntingly large and spectacular. When I teach adjunct classes in astronomy from time to time, probably the hardest task I have is not conveying the details, but the scope and the size and the magnitude of what we're talking about. When we talk about the solar system, for example, just our solar system, you know, when you build your little model of the solar system, I helped Calvin build one the other day for a class project. And you know, the Earth is about an inch big and the sun is like an inch and a half, right? If you take all of the mass in our solar system and measure it, all the planets, all the comets, all the meteor, all the debris, everything floating around out there, stuff we've sent up, and the sun is 99% of everything in our solar system. The sun is 99%, and every other planet, every other object in our solar system fits into the 1%. That's how much bigger than us it is. And it's a boringly small and average star in a cosmos full of much bigger ones. And even when you get the sense of how big they are and how enormous and mind-boggling they are, 99% of what's out there is actually empty. Those enormous objects don't fill the universe with matter. The universe is still mostly great, enormous, spectacular distances of empty space in between, with little waves of radiation carrying light and signals through it. It's this huge, huge universe, and it just begs you to ask, what kind of God can do this? every day, the universe shouts his glory. Heaven and earth shout what we barely whisper. We barely want to speak about God in our everyday conversations, and the cosmos screams and shouts his name. We're the only ones that have to be reminded. Verse 2 says, day to day pours out speech and night to night reveals knowledge. This isn't a sometimes thing, right? Even for Christians, right? In theory, if there's anybody that knows they're supposed to magnify the name of God, it'd be Christians, right? And we do that really well, right? All the time, right? Okay, well, maybe not. In fact, if in most places on a Sunday morning we've boiled our worship service down to, you know, like 60 minutes, if it goes 61, someone's, you know, a little disappointed in that, right? During the week, you spend a few minutes, like if in a given week you spend a couple of minutes having a conversation with a friend about the gospel, you feel like a huge success as a Christian. And in many ways, you are. Okay, great, good job. That's 5 minutes more than a lot of folks. But do you see the point the passage is making? The rest of the creation, every second of every day, is pouring out speech about God. Don't even have to be told. They just shout all the time. You get up in the morning and everything you see is saying glory to God. Got a new puppy at our house, a little tiny miniature schnauzer, Calvin's new dog, and it's just a ball of fluff right now, and it's adorable. I came in the office the other day, and I think it was Marla asked me, hey, how you doing? I said, oh, well, so. She says, how can you be having a bad day? You have a puppy, right? It's adorable. And every morning it gets up and it barks. And if you speak puppy, you know it says two things. I need to go out and glory to God. Like it's the beauty of this small little creature living its life, doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's doing exactly what its creator made it to do. And when you go to bed at night, you look out in the night sky and the stars are saying the same thing. There's not a minute of the day when that message is not being said. We're the only ones. Every hour of the day is filled with words we won't spend minutes repeating. See the difference? We're the only ones that have to be reminded. Or this verse, verses 3 and beginning of 4. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Their creation speaks in a language that everybody can hear. You know, it doesn't matter if you're from Ukraine or Africa or South America. You look at the same sky and are impressed by it. The glory of God transcends language. God has asked us to speak in our mother tongue to people who share that language, and we find it difficult. The creation speaks to the whole cosmos. The creation spreads a message across the cosmos that we won't take across the street. See the difference? That when we look at the creation, it's doing its job, and it's doing it well. We are the ones that have to be reminded that God is worthy of his glory, and there should never be a time when we are not speaking of it. A second passage that hints at this theme is from the life of Jesus in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 36 and following, passage I mention in this context every so often. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. This is the scene we call the triumphal entry. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You know what's happening right there? For one moment, people are doing what they should be doing all the time, right? The triumphal entry ought to be every moment of the day. All of us, all the time, ought to be spreading out cloaks, maybe Cokes too, maybe Pepsi, spreading out our cloaks in front of Messiah and saying, glory to God in the highest, right? People are doing what they ought to be doing. They're speaking with the words of God on their tongue. And someone immediately says, this is very inconvenient. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Make that stop. Right? The whole universe is doing it. People do it for 5 minutes and immediately somebody says that's inconvenient because the glory of God gets as inconvenient for the schemes of man. Giving God the praise he deserves gets in the way of me time. It takes away from the things we want to do. It's distracting. They say you're going to have to stop that. You know what Jesus' response to that request to tell people to stop praising God? He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Hear what he's saying? Do you want to make the rocks mad? Are you crazy? It's the first time all day people have done what they were supposed to do. The universe is happy with us. We've joined in the song, and you want them to stop? Silence in the glory of God would provoke the very stones you stand on. There's an old Puritan sermon by George Whitefield that I quote every so often because it makes me laugh. But he had this point he liked to make. He'd ask people, do you know why dogs growl at you and snakes hiss at you? It's because they know. It's because they know. You're the only creature they've ever met who has rebelled against their creator. You're the only being in all the world who doesn't praise God, and they know, and they don't like you. Well, I've never asked a snake if that's why he hisses, but the point Jesus is making is eerily similar, isn't it? He says, do you want the rocks to get mad at you? The whole creation is glorifying God. We're finally joining the song, and you want us to stop? We're the only thing God ever made that had to be told to do what everything else does naturally. Romans chapter 8 will be our third and short passage today, emphasizing that the fact we don't do it is what's wrong with us. What's wrong with the world? Everybody's got an answer. Paul has an answer. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Paul says there's something wrong in the world, and we all say, yep, sure is. And we start to make our list about what's wrong in the world. Well, it's politicians, and it's COVID, and it's the economy, and it's this, or it's that, or it's pollution, or something. You know, we've all got a list of here are the things wrong in the world. Paul says that's not it. He says the children of God are not giving God his glory, and that's what's wrong in the world. Children of God are not giving God his glory. The creation is not what it should be, because the glory of God is being hidden when it ought to be shouted. Says it again in the next verse. Listen to it. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The whole world is not what it should be. Even us, we aren't what we should be. There's an angst and an anxiety about everything we do. And we say, well, what is it? Well, maybe it's bad mental health, or maybe we need therapy, or maybe Paul says, no, it's simple. God is not receiving his glory. His gospel is not going into all the earth. And until it does, until people are given by the gospel the power to become the children of God, until that message covers the world as the waters cover the sea, no, we won't be what we were made to be. No, we won't be content, and we shouldn't be. Folks, in all the creation, we're the only thing that ever had to be told to glorify God, to be reminded, why is humanity not what it should be? Because every day we hide what we should shout. Take this seriously. You were made, like everything else in creation, to give God his glory. How you do that, there are a variety of ways you can do it, but the simplest is to simply tell the story of Jesus Christ to the people that you already know. To go and look for opportunities. To find a place where God's glory is not and take it there. And that includes Ada, Oklahoma, and Kenya, and Honduras, and Ukraine, and everywhere else, and in every life. God's glory must go there. And we're the ones who have to take it. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? God, we humbly repent before you for being the stubborn creatures who have not shouted your praise. Help us to give the greater heed to this task for which we are created. Help us to honor you as our creator and give glory to you by your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of all. Let there not be a corner of the planet not filled with your glory. Let there not be a conversation we have that does not shout your praise. Help us be better worshipers, God, in all that we do. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.